epistle for this first Sunday during Lent, which is that of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, we entreat you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation I have helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the time of salvation. We give no offense to anyone that our ministry may not be blamed. On the contrary, let us conduct ourselves in all circumstances as God's ministers, in much patience, in tribulations, in hardships, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labor, in sleepless nights, in fastings, in innocence, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in unaffected love, in the world of in the word of truth, in the power of God, with the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, in honor and dishonor, in evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet truthful, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised but not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Please rise for the Gospel, which is that of the Apostle St. Matthew. At the time Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, throw thyself down, for it is written, he has given his angels charge concerning thee, and upon their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written, Father, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, thy Lord thy God shalt thou worship, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. At the commencement of this season, what more fitting opening than the words of St. Paul of today's epistle? "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." St. Leo, Pope and Doctor of the Church, points out, "For though there is no season that is not filled with the divine gifts, and though at each moment we have, through his grace, access to the divine mercy, yet now is the time in which the souls of all men should be stirred with greater fervor toward spiritual perfection and inspired with greater confidence." But since it was reminded on Ash Wednesday about our weak condition after the fall, and since the manifold duties of the present life take up so much of our care, St. Leo says, "Accordingly, with great solicitude has this divine means given us, so that these 40 days of reflection may assist us to restore the purity of our souls, and so that during them we may, by good works, make satisfaction for our past sins, and by devout mortification, purge ourselves from them." So what is the image that then the Gospel brings us to our consideration? Our Lord firstly wants to teach us that He Himself had to fight against temptation. So we do, also, each one of us. And that also He did win the battle against the devil. So we can say that His victory is our victory too. The Lord, under the appearance of human flesh, the divinity of our Lord lay concealed, to whom it could be a simple thing to pass through the air. But it was our Lord's desire to defeat the devil by the justice of a true man, rather than by the power of His divinity. On the other hand, we have the subject of the temptations. The Gospel brings up the issue of the three temptations and the root of our sins, the capital sins. St. Gregory the Great says, "For He tempted Him by gluttony when He said, 'Command that these stones may be made bread.' He tempted Him by vainglory when He said, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down.' And by greed of dominion, when He showed Him all the kingdoms of the earth and said, 'All this I give thee, if falling down, thou wilt adore me.'" As we can see how this arrogant enemy does not hesitate to pursue his evil intent, not alone against the enticements of gluttony, but even in our whole purpose of the virtue of penance and fasting. The enemy is well aware that the sin of pride was the first one when he tempted our first parents back in the book of Genesis, and he knows how pride then can turn a soul away from God, as what Scripture says in the book of Ecclesiasticus, "Pride is the beginning of all sin." St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that pride is more than a capital sin. It is the source of all the capital sins, and particularly of vainglory, which is one of its first effects. Everything we do on this time of during Lent, the Church, by the readings of the liturgy, wants to teach us that it is not our garments that we should rend as a sign of sorrow, as the Pharisees did, but rather our hearts. For it is not to men that we should appear to fast, to do our penances that we chose, but to our Father who sees in the secret place of our souls. From the prophet Joel, for Ash Wednesday, we read, "Now therefore, saith the Lord, be converted to me with all your heart, in fasting and in weeping and in mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments, and turn to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, patient and rich in mercy, and ready to repent of the evil." St. Matthew chapter 5, we read first Friday during Lent. St. Matthew chapter 5 says, "Take heed that you do not your justice before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise you shall not have a reward of your Father who is in heaven. Therefore when you do an alms deed, sound not as a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you do alms, when you give alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand do, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father who sees in the secret places will repay thee." On the prayer, call it prayer of the Mass, last Friday, we prayed, "Father, with thy gracious favor we beseech thee, O Lord, the fasts which we have begun, that the bodily observance which we keep, we may be able to practice with sincere minds." So we can see then how the spirit of the liturgy wants us to practice our Lenten exercises with the right intentions, and not to forget the real purpose of this particular time of grace. How many of us call or think we're faithful Christians because we just practice exterior works of religion, penances, all sorts of different devotions, bodily sacrifices, but really we are not fulfilling the great commandment of the love of our neighbor and forgiveness, the greatest commandments, love of God and thyself and your neighbor as thyself, as we read in St. Matthew chapter 5. Or they just, people or all of us, would not simply hear anybody's advice or suggestions in either a spiritual or intellectual matter. So pride then is the inordinate love of our own excellence. To believe that we have, through our own efforts, what we have received from God, to believe that we have merited what we have graciously or freely received, in other words, it is directly opposed to that humble submission of the creature before God. In the Dialogues of St. Catherine of Siena says that pride obscures the knowledge of the truth and nourishes self-love. Here are some practical enumerations of the several progressive manifestations of pride in our souls according to St. Bernard, who enumerates them on this order. Curiosity, levity of mind, foolish and misplaced joy, boasting, singularity, arrogance, presumption, the refusal to recognize one's errors, the dissimulation of one's sins in confession, rebellion, unbridled liberty, and the habit of sin even to the contempt of God. Therefore, we have considered so far all these different ways. May we also see now the remedies, or at least briefly to consider the basics remedies for healing pride. On the first place, we see that God's love is a cause of goodness in things. And if grace is in us, it is because Jesus Christ redeemed us by his blood. If we consider ourselves as sinners before God, if we just not put all of our confidence in ourselves, but only in him who created us, to practice the frequent reception of the sacrament of penance, where we can acquire a true self-knowledge, and slowly we will be able to see what matter of man we truly are, and learn to humbly receive the grace from the power of confession as a sacrament, and we will have the strength of Christ, who is always our leader in the fight against sin. And the last would be to keep in mind the sufferings of our Lord in his passion and the humiliations that he had to suffer. That's why every Friday, and we strongly encourage during Lent to do the stations of the cross, where we contemplate in each station the passions and sufferings of our Lord. That's also a remedy to heal pride. Let us then, dear brethren, be confident in the grace of God. As today, at today's Mass, at the offertory, Father will pray, "The Lord will overshadow thee with his shoulders, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall compass thee with a shield." May God bless you, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.